Nobody really wants to talk about dying. And there's probably just a few places where it's sort of acceptable. Standing up here in front of a crowd of believers in Christ, I think generally speaking, it's a pretty acceptable thing. Kind of expect to hear about it every once in a while. But certainly in private conversations, it's not the sort of thing that most of us would spend the time to talk about. I mean, if you were just engaging someone with social conversation, you know, how are you, how's the career, what do you think about death? I mean, that's just not the way you're going to do it. It's like politics sometimes, or it's like, for some people, talking about the Bible or religious things. So it is generally the kind of thing we'd just rather not talk about it. Now, the scriptures kind of help us with a certain level of comfort, at least after Jesus comes along. In the Old Testament, death is presented in a pretty negative way. I mean, it was the punishment that came to people who severely violated the law. And other than that, there's not a whole lot good that's really said about it. We'll look at a passage from Psalms in just a few minutes, and it's pretty clear how most people thought about death. They thought about it pretty much the way you and I do. In the sense that we'd rather not talk about it. But we certainly know, we get up here and we sing these songs that all say that everything's going to be okay. And this world is not our home and all that. But still, to be very serious and engage it in a conversation is not something we are prone to do. I've mentioned this before, but many of you have been in a situation where you knew a person you're visiting was going to be dying soon. And they'd want to talk to you about it. And most all of us would do almost the same things we're going to read when it came to Jesus talking about dying, and that is, oh, come on now, that's not going to happen. Yeah, we're all going to die someday. Because we'd just rather really not discuss it. But as Christians, I think we ought to be pretty good at talking about it. We sing about it pretty good. But we just don't really talk about it like we're really empowered to understand it in a way where it can be something very positive. When you look at the death of Jesus and the coming death of Jesus, as you'll notice if you're following along the outline, that in some ways the reaction to the idea of Jesus' death is pretty typically human. Now, as I said before, there's not a whole lot in the Old Testament about the afterlife. There's two or three passages which I think one can infer certain things from them. But it's not handled, it's not built, it's not developed like it is in the New Testament. And so it stands to reason that they would look at death pretty much the way you and I do. Jesus was talking about what was about to happen to him in Matthew 16:21. It says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. Now look at Peter's reaction. Now again, we sometimes pick on Peter because he's impetuous and he seems to want to be the center of the crowd and all that sort of thing. But notice what he says. It's pretty typical. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. This isn't going to happen. I mean, all the reasons maybe we might set forth might make it, give us a slightly different perspective into what Peter might have said. But what he's saying is pretty much what you and I would say. Look at you. You know, you're in your early 30s. You've got big things that are going to be happening to you. You're the Messiah. You shouldn't be talking about death. Pretty human. Jesus was in a situation when he was at the garden where he's even predicting to these guys, even after he said it, you know, it's recorded two or three times, you know, that I'm going to die, get ready, deal with it. But even then, I mean, he warned them that something is going to happen and you guys are going to really struggle with it. He says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus then said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Again, sounds pretty optimistic. I mean, even if that person lying on the bed says, you know, I'm really looking forward to going to be with the Lord, we're still, even with that gate open to us to make it okay to talk about it, we're still a little bit hesitant to really engage it. So here's what Peter says. Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. I'm not going to talk about this whole idea, number one, of death. He didn't like that in Matthew chapter 16. I mean, he had just declared that Jesus was the Son of God. That wasn't something he wanted to hear. And here Jesus is saying, right near his death, he's saying, look, it's going to happen, and you guys are going to just walk away from me. The sheep will be scattered from the shepherd, quoting the Old Testament prophecy. Peter says it's not going to happen. I mean, Peter might as well have said, you're not going to die. But he puts it in the context of what Jesus said. And he says, you know, even if everybody turns his back on you, it won't be me. It won't be me. I'll stop you from having to be killed, is what Peter was saying. Now, again, it's a brave person who I think is devoted to Christ. Maybe he talks a little bit too much. But I think he really, truly believed that. His response to me is pretty human. I know you keep talking about death, but it's not going to happen on my watch. We're too important alive, and you certainly are important to be alive. Jesus even seems to be struggling with the idea of dying, and I don't want to overstate this because I put there, in some way, even Jesus, and so the some way is pretty important here because I'm not trying to get really over the top with looking at this passage, but in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 26, says Jesus came with him to a place called Gethsemane, said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and I pray. And of course, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved and distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Now, a lot of sermons have been preached on, you know, what Jesus was meaning there when he said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. I don't think that he's talking necessarily about being afraid of death. I do think, though, it's possible, as we generally say, you know, he's about to die, take on the sins, bear the sins for everybody in the world, and it's just an overwhelming experience. Maybe that's what he meant. You can make a pretty good case for that, but it's not explained to us what he meant, but he is really overwhelmed by the experience. You know, so much so that, you know, that's when he says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. It may have had nothing to do with his dying. But when you look at the experience that he is at least passing through at this point in time, he's very, very overwhelmed with what he knows is going to happen. I mean, he hadn't died yet. Yes, he is the Creator. Yes, he is the Son of God. But he came here to show what it's like to live as a human being. Before that, if we understand the scriptures properly, he lived eternally with God. Now he's going to have to face the physical death, which he had created as a part of our existence. Stands to me that, like most of us, there'd be a little bit of trepidation there. But you can take that however you want. You know, why is it we don't want to talk about it? Why is it we fear it? As I say in the introduction, that for many of us, we fear it because it's something different. We've not experienced it. There's the finality of it all. Or, you know, we've got other experiences. Maybe we've lost a loved one and just still working on us. The pain and the suffering of the loss and all those kinds of things. We just don't want to talk about it. But I think, you know, for a lot of us, it's kind of a phobia in some ways, maybe about change. Maybe we don't want to face the idea because, you know, you've heard enough times people stand up and say, someday you're going to give an account for your life. And for a lot, let's put that off as long as we can. So I can understand why you might not want to talk about that from that perspective. Someday I'm going to be held accountable. And it's no different, you know, when you're preparing for a final exam. If you can put the final exam off, the teacher says, well, we're not going to have it. Now we're going to have it 2 or 3 weeks later. Most all of us would just breathe a sigh of relief and go, oh boy, I get to put that off a little longer. Same way with dying. I think we just would like to just push it out there. In the life of Jesus, I mean, the people who were around him looked at death pretty much like you and I did. Now, when it comes to how his life ended, it's pretty typical. We won't take the time to look at all this, but this is the story of Joseph of Arimathea, who is the one who arranges for the burial of Jesus. So Jesus dies. Culturally, he deserves some sort of, quote, what we might call a proper burial, and he gets a really good one here from a really rich guy, so we're told in the scriptures. Certainly an important, a significant guy. It says in verse 40, they took the body of Jesus, bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. So it's a pretty typical death. Culturally, it was the way people handled it. Prepare the body, and then you bury it. So the point I'm trying to make here, as you'll maybe scan back to the original point, point number one, is that up to this point in time, I think most of these people had the view of death that was just generally held by most people. Certainly not an idea that this is a good thing. This is something to celebrate. Up to this point in time, people looked at death, I think, pretty much like we do. Peter said, let's not talk about this. And hopefully, you know, what happens as we, you know, come to understand this, that we allow ourselves to progress a little further down the road here instead of being so unwilling to talk about it. And being able at some point to embrace it and say, what the scriptures tell us is that this is a good thing. Now, again, wrap your mind around that. Most of us who understand the scriptures, we sing all the songs. We get so wrapped up in the separation and the loss of loved ones and being separated from what we know, who knows what's out there, all that kind of thing, that it's just very hard for us even to really take the scriptures to heart. I'm not saying that we don't believe them. I'm just saying it's a little bit hard for us to embrace them. Even Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stopped, stooped, and looked into the tomb. So here she is. I don't know. Some say, well, they're all hanging out there, these women, waiting for Jesus to be resurrected. Surely somebody believed in it. But she's doing what most people do when someone dies. You weep, you mourn, and maybe some cultures a little bit more so than others. But I want you to look at Psalm 116 here with me, the first 8 verses, because I think it nails it for me in understanding what people's view of death actually was. And I want to tell you that when you read this, you know, there weren't people going around in the Old Testament generally saying, great, it's going to be some day in our lives we're going to go out there and we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to live eternally with him. I think what you read here is very representative of what people thought. And it's a lot like you, and it's a lot like I think. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to hear me, or his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompass me, and the terrors of Sheol come upon me. I found distress and sorrow. This is, in other words, I don't want to die, and it was right there knocking on my door. Sounds pretty normal. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech you, save my life. I don't want to die. Just give me a little bit more time. On to verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple, and I was brought low, and he saved me. So I was right there to where I didn't want to be, and he's saying God took care of me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. It's okay. I'm not going to die. You have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears. All right. The average person, I think, looks at death very much in the same way. Not many, not giving a whole lot of credit to God in the whole process, like Larry Enriquez was talking about, when you think about how generally people in the world look at different things. But they didn't want to die. And I dare say, generally, it takes us a while to kind of get used to the idea. I have certainly been with people when they have prayed to die. The pain is just getting to be too much. But you separate that person from the pain, and generally speaking, they'd like to maybe go on just a little bit longer. you know, the grave calls out to us in a way is what the psalmist is saying. But I didn't want to go there, and God took care of me. So again, you know, if they have the same sort of view of eternal life or what happens after Jesus as you and I, well, you know, why would you say that? Well, death just ushers in something beyond that. But they didn't have that understanding. At least that's not my belief. When you look at point number two, if you're following it all in the outline, it says that you need to, I think, identify. We need to identify those who saw good in death, because eventually people began to see it that way. Death is not like what's described back there in Psalms. And you can find this all over the Psalms, by the way. Something changed. Death became not a bad thing, but death became a good thing. Now, you guys know I try to, in my own mind, make things as simple as I can. And maybe I'm guilty often of maybe oversimplification, but all I'm trying to get you to see here is when you look at the way death is discussed in these particular Roman passages, certainly the first two paragraphs, Paul is presenting a very, very different view of death. Death to him is something that reminds us of something that's good. That's a pretty radical change. Remember now, Peter said, no, we're not talking about death around here. But look at the way Paul talks about it. He says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Now, what happened? Well, the death of Jesus, Paul is preaching, is something that accomplished something that's really good. It's not a bad thing. In Jesus' case, it was a good thing. It says, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, usually when we're talking about why Jesus died, usually what we're given to say is that, well, the wages of sin is death. The punishment for death had to be meted out. God sent his son to do that, and that's certainly a biblical idea. In other words, it's all about justice. That's why Jesus died. Well, it's a little bit more than that. I think it's also to cause us to re-look at what we think about death. That it's not something that's just to be avoided. What Paul is saying here, it was a good thing that Jesus died. So can you kind of see that and maybe not get so caught up in the theology of justification, reconciliation, and all these things? And just say, that's what he said. It's a good thing he died. Because look where we are now, because he died. His dying was a good thing. Now, obviously, it seems to me that what I'm trying to, I guess, exhort you and myself to believe is that if it was a good thing for Jesus, then why isn't it a good thing for me? Think about that. Chapter 6, verse 7. For he who has died is free from sin. There it's talking about those who have died to sin through baptism. He says, for if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. So do you see here, as you look at those first couple of verses, and I think this one's a good one to me, because it's helped me to understand that I now look at death, I should look at death very differently than all those people, as Larry's talking about, who are in the stadium. I have a very different view of death. I'm not saying you're not going to struggle with it, and don't give me this, oh, come on, Randy, you know, that's just something we can't get over. Paul got over it. Now, maybe with the help of the Holy Spirit, he got over it, but he didn't go around saying, oh, you know, that was just a terrible thing that Jesus had to die. I wish he were still here with us. Boy, I could apologize. I could do all kinds of things to make this thing right. But he just says, look, something really good came out of this. Those of us who died with him, spiritually in that case, knowing that Christ was raised from the dead to never to die again, and that death is no longer a master over him. That now changes my view. That's what Paul says. Jesus showed that death was not a master over him. He was resurrected. He is now suggesting that it becomes something very similar to me and to you. Though I think it's speaking figuratively down in chapter 8, verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's certainly real. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So it's something, out of his death comes something good. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give to you in your mortal bodies the spirit who dwells in you. So again, let's not get so caught up in just trying to understand the judicious side or the judicial side of the death of Jesus and why he died. And that through this I can be forgiven of my sins. That's true. But look how comfortable Paul is in discussing death. That's got to mean something. Because he had a very different attitude about death, to where it becomes something that he's very comfortable talking about. And he talks about it later on in some places. We'll allude to that. Larry Enriquez already talked about one from 2 Timothy. But here's that passage from Hebrews, a couple of them. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. How is it we are able to do that? Somebody died, and it was a good thing. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's how we get there. That's code, if you will, for his death. That's how great it was. I suppose it would be one of those things where we would get to the point where we could be so comfortable with the idea of dying because of what Jesus did for us that we're generally okay talking about it. And I'm saying talking about it to our loved ones and trying to help them to understand through our receiving their condolences or whatever that I'm not trying to get all smiley-faced about death. There's still some very sad things about it, but my view of it is very, very different. Wouldn't it be great when we have our relative there before us and they're still conscious enough to be able to talk to us and they want to talk about what death means to them, to be able to share that idea rather than saying, I'd rather not talk about it. It makes me uncomfortable. Now, I think we think it's going to make them uncomfortable, so that's maybe why we don't want to. But I think for the most part, it's about us. We feel kind of creepy talking about it. You know, it's like if I am okay with talking about it, maybe I'm, you know, communicate to this person, yeah, hey, fine, go ahead and die. That's fine with me. That's not what you're doing. When a Christian says, I want to talk about dying, what an opportunity to share some great joy with that person. Because they know, and they're facing it, this is something that's very, very dear to my heart, that I've lived this life of faithfulness knowing that it's worth something. And it's all because of Jesus and what Jesus did for me. Something else happens after you consider the idea that knowing this about what death is, that it gives us this sense of boldness in life, that we're good with this. Yes, someday I'm going to go meet God. I don't have to be afraid of that. I don't have to go, oh boy, I wonder what that's going to be like. I haven't really been living, you know, the way, you know, the Bible tells me. That's another story. That's something you're going to have to think about. But to the person who truly believes in who Jesus is and understands salvation through him and his grace and his mercy and all that incorporates into our lives, the fact that I don't have to be afraid of dying. What a great thing for us to be able to celebrate. I think it's very sad, you know, what's happened to a great extent, you know, in funeral services. This whole celebration of life thing, you know, that we're all into now, like that's the way to do it. It's so upbeat. It's so positive. That way we don't have to talk about death. Why not? Why does it have to be an awful thing? Jesus came to change. I mean, what did it say over there in the Hebrew letter, chapter 2? You know, he came to take away the fear of death. And maybe that means also the fear of talking about it and addressing it in a very honest way. It's also intended to change us. Look at 2 Corinthians, this whole idea of what really now pushes me to be able to love and be okay with it, not worry about, you know, whether someone's taking advantage of me. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all. So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Look what comes out of the death of Jesus. Look what comes out of what he teaches me and you about death. You see, it's not just about Jesus. I mean, I think sometimes we think, yeah, it must have been kind of tough being crucified. It was an awful death. I think Larry Enriquez used that phrase this morning. But, you know, it just had to be done. And, you know, somebody had to do it, and he was the Son of God, so God sent him to do it. So you and I, not just so you and I will know someday, you know, it's all going to work out, although that's very much a part of it, but so we could get okay with the idea. Paul just throws the word death around like it's really not a problem at all for him. There's no sense of, oh, boy, I just wish Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Well, he did, and his death really means something. It's meant to mean something to me and you. In 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment that we have from him, that one who loves God should love his brother also. This idea that love is what we really are about in terms of what we can learn from Jesus about dying, how Jesus died for somebody else. And we do, I mean, we do honor that. You know, if you get word of someone who died protecting others from dying, I mean, that's a highly laudable act in our culture. But that's exactly what Jesus did. So yes, we can, I think, rightly sing and be excited about Jesus dying, but at some point it's got to come into us and say, hey, for me as a Christian, death isn't as bad as it is for the person who doesn't believe about anything beyond this life. Changes us. These are people who saw good in death. Look at the disciples. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Now, what had just happened? They'd been told about what? Jesus died, and many of you were responsible for killing him. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Why? Celebrating a death. No, it doesn't say, you know, we should just talk about the life of Jesus. This idea of focusing on his death. I mean, I know why some people don't want to do that, because he died for sins, and there are some people who don't want to embrace the idea that, you know, sin is something that, you know, needs to be forgiven. These people were happy about it. There was joy in their life. They were now focused on something because of someone who died and gave meaning to life, and they were moving forward. Cause these people, the Thessalonians, 2 Corinthians 8:1, they're being addressed, and it says, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which was been given to the churches of Macedonia. Thessalonica was in there. That in the great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of God. Here's what happens when you have the right attitude. I have the right attitude about death, and I can talk about it like Paul talked about it. I can talk about it in its more positive vein, what it really accomplishes. And then how is it great when we read that Psalm passage? You know, it's great for one who dies in the Lord. It's a great thing when that happens. It's because we have a totally different view of death. So if we're really still in that, boy, I don't know. I don't know that any of us are going to completely shake that. But there's no reason for us not trying to embrace what the scriptures teach on this. You and I are meant to, because of what Jesus did and the fact that Jesus was resurrected, it now gives us hope. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He did it. It happened to him. It can happen to us. And that's what we believe. If we don't believe in that, Paul says, we're pathetic people. If we're doing what we're doing simply because we think it's a good thing, that's not good enough, Paul says. It's because of the resurrection. So this is what these people were like. Now, what are some of the ways that it does empower us as we bring this to a close in the next 5 minutes or so? Okay, what does it change? Point A says, as with Jesus, rejection now becomes an opportunity. My very attitude toward death, if I'm rejected, which nobody likes, it doesn't mean that my world is over. It doesn't mean that that's the end of it. It's an awful thing, generally, to be rejected. We don't like being rejected by a spouse. We don't like being rejected by friends. It's not a pleasant experience. But notice as Jesus is talking to the disciples about what's going to happen to them. He's saying, you're going to be rejected. Before all these things, they will lay their hands on you, will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake, and it will lead to what? An opportunity for your testimony. You will have the opportunity to say, I don't have to be afraid of death. My Savior died and was resurrected. He has promised the same for me. My life party, whatever it is I'm hoping to get out of it, you know, smiles and all the things that we are inclined to think that's what makes a good life. Jesus says, don't worry about this. Luke 22, he was arrested. And after it, he's looking at those who are arresting him, and he said, this hour and the power of darkness are yours. In other words, you're having your moment here, but boy, are there going to be great things that are going to come out of this. Think about that. If we have this powerfully positive attitude about what death now means to us, and when we say we don't have the fear of death, that we can really begin to try to communicate that, even though we don't always know what's out there. Just like anything that's unknown. Jesus, when he was there in a horrible place, all the suffering that he had experienced, in Luke 23, it says, as he died, he noted that God was in control. What did he say? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm still good. This is the attitude. I really believe that when you hear people talking about death in the New Testament, because it's discussed in a positive way, much more so than it is in the Old Testament. I mean, it's just silly to even make the comparison. Essentially, what the New Testament is saying, look, death is something many of you are afraid of, but it doesn't have to be that way. And maybe trying to learn how to talk to it and talk to the issue and to talk to other people about it when the opportunity comes. That you really do believe what the Bible says about it. It's not that you're just Pollyannish about life and you don't really want to, you know, death is a bad thing, but I'm going to try to only make it as positive as possible. But just talk about it for what it really is. Jesus taught us preceding his death, he tells his disciples, here's what it means to be one of my disciples. If you want to be royal, you know, like they were fighting over who was the best, he washes their feet and he says, here's what you should do. It's okay. You don't have to be in control. You serve. That's what I'm doing. That comes from that confidence that we have. Now we know. Now we understand why we're here. Some of us are at the point in life where maybe it's just so far out of our realm of reality. We're young. We'd really rather not think about it. Most of us, though, certainly at least half of us are a whole lot closer there than maybe what we thought we would ever be. So from this sense of empowerment, as I call it, and maybe that's kind of a worn-out word these days, Jesus died for us. And now our lives mean something because we're now willing to die ourselves for others, and also to recognize that our death is not the end. It's the reception of that crown that was mentioned earlier. Jesus said to the disciples, in essence, persecution just doesn't ruin our lives. He was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. See, what happens in the end is we can accept, you know, whatever this, what I call present shame, and say it's okay because there's something called the resurrection, and Jesus taught me the reality of it. He is God. He is the one who is responsible for the universe as we know it. And he's trying to tell us that through him, through his blood, death does not have to be a downer. And even Christians ought to learn to talk about it. And again, not sort of getting caught into this rather worldly point of view of let's not talk about death and what that means when a loved one passes away. Well, let's just talk about their life. Let's keep it upbeat. See, the point is, death now becomes an upbeat discussion to us in a very special way, I think. A lot of sadness, and certainly there's mourning, but boy, our perspective of it. Look what Peter said when these guys were being told, you know, you just better shut up. You're going to be jailed, and who knows what will happen beyond that. He says to these individuals who are pressing him, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Paul goes on in a sermon to say, when they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. That's what our concept of death says. It's not the end. Do we understand it completely? No. But we got enough information from a historical event, the resurrection of Christ, to say, this is what's promised for all of us. And that's why we, you know, we need to talk about it. And it's not morbid. I mean, Paul even talks about wanting to die like Jesus. I think some people would look at that, you know, without understanding the perspective and say, well, that's kind of a, well, I call it morbid. Maybe that's the best word. It's kind of a morbid way of looking at things. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What a great thing to be able to discuss death in a way that we were intended. I mean, when the gospel was being taught, the whole idea of the fear of death being accomplished, removed by what Jesus did, it makes it a different subject for us. So the death of Jesus was more than just satisfying the justice of God. It's intended to change our lives into a very different experience when compared to most people. With Jesus, death should not be seen only in the context of sadness and mourning. It is to lift us so that we may be a lift to those around us. And I believe that's God's slant on death. I don't think it's real easy to talk of death in very personal situations in a comfortable biblical way, but I think we could all do a better job. And to not allow ourselves to get caught up into this, you know, I'd rather not talk about it thing, particularly when the opportunity is there with serious situations and circumstances. I'm not talking about small talk. I'm talking about when it comes up. What does death now mean to us? And it's just not the end of all of it. And it's just not something to fear. It's something we ought to be able to discuss because of what Jesus did and what he accomplished. Yes, by doing those things which cause us to be now reconciled or right with God, but also to show us through his resurrection there's something else. You may not completely understand it, nor do I, but it's there. What a different attitude about discussing death with a passing Christian if we just embrace that whole idea. It's not a dirty word. Jesus changed the meaning of that word for all of us. If you're here and you're not a Christian, as Larry said earlier, you know, most people out there are lost. They're lost without Jesus. They're lost, you know, not because they think they have a bad life, because most of them don't think that way, but because their sins separate them from God. It's just that simple. Without Jesus, they're still there hanging over you. They're like a cloud following you around. They're going to separate you from God. Don't try to convince yourself that, you know, somehow you being a good guy or a good girl, generally speaking, is going to change that. It's not. It can't change it. One of our presidential candidates said, you know, I know people talk about repentance. I don't know. I can't think of anything I need to repent of. That doesn't get rid of the cloud. Doesn't get rid of it. It's only through obedience to Jesus and what his blood does for us that we are made okay. And then all of a sudden talking about death can be a very different experience. If you can understand these things and you wish to be obedient to Christ, this morning we invite you to come as we stand and sing.